welcome to the couple guests we have on at the moment. You guys are auto-muted and cameras are off. Let it grow. We'll go first. We basically want you guys to just post your... There's a chat on Zoom. If you look at the bottom of the meeting, you'll see there's a whole bunch of buttons. Click the chat button. Andrew's just posted a comment there. And basically, we want you guys to ask your question in the chat. We'll then call on you and we will facilitate some questions and answers. After your question, you'll be muted and you're more than welcome to stay along for the question and answer session or alternatively be on your way. So yeah, welcome and hit us up with your question.
When to start low stress training for autos? Do you go on vigor of the plant or time specific?
Yeah, so I think that's the first point there is the nail on the head. Like I never do anything except for counting your flowering period. You never really want to do anything time specific. It's more related. You can't say, okay, cool, on day four, I need to do this because every single plant is going to grow differently. So I would allow the sort of first on average 2 week period for the plant to get established and then start daily low stress training on the plant once it has reached a size that it is now a little bit more robust. Generally, you're looking at leaf sets between leaf set 3 and 4 that you want to start your low stress training. But the time frame would be heavily dependent on the auto itself. Some autos just never get big. That's how it is. Others are rapid and you might need to start a little bit sooner. But yeah, over time specific, I would look how big is the plant, how fast is it maturing, and then decide on your low stress training strategy accordingly.
See, another question's been posted here. Do dry spells boost growth for autos? Does the new roots look and grow faster looking for water? And I would say yes, you know, getting a good dryback is essential growing any cannabis plant. You don't want to oversaturate your soil, but you also don't want to have it obviously being too dry for too long. So if you can focus your drybacks within your night cycle and then give sufficient water throughout the day while the lights are on or the sun is out, you know, that is always good practice to do.
Follow on that question, there's a second part. Does an autoflower flower when the roots reach the sides of the pot? If they do, is a dry spell or root growth better or worse?
Yeah, so I think any stress on an autoflower is going to cause it to go into flower. So if you've planted in a small container and it is sort of starting to get pot bound, then your plant will get into a stress period. It will realize it's running out of space and it will go into flower to make sure that it gets something at the end of the day. If it's super healthy and vegging out and, you know, there's little deficiency, on average, your plant's going to sort of want to push into veg for longer. I've even seen some incredibly, incredibly, incredibly healthy autos not even go auto at all, which is like, you know, one in a hundred or so. But and then on the second part, if you have a root bound pot, you know, it's going to dry back incredibly, incredibly, incredibly fast. So then, yeah, this using the same dry spell you were using on a non root bound plant, it's going to dry out completely. So once again, it would be looking at the plant, you know, how saturated is that that substrate, and then making a decision accordingly. There's no formula once again.
But okay, I'm going to ask the next question from Yako. What high CBD with almost no THC strains is easy to grow indoors? And I feel like, Luke, you might have a good answer on that.
Yeah, so I personally like the Dutch Passion CBD ranges. Those are always really, really good to go for. But we also have a CBD Critical XXL that's also really, really good to grow out. So, you know, if you looking for something like that and it is easy to grow out indoors, I would recommend going for that. Anything from Dutch Passion is generally amazing. So they've been breeding for a really, you know, quite a good while. Their seed bank is large as well. They do lots and lots of projects and it's big breeding projects. So you know that more often than not, you're going to get something that has well stabilized, the lineages are good, et cetera, et cetera. So Yeah, those are my recommendations. If you have any others that you've tried as well that you found some success with, please also let us know. We love to hear feedback as well on anything that you guys are doing.
Yeah, Charlotte's Angel, I've seen growing indoors and outdoors across, I've seen a good couple grows over the last 5 years. And some of the nugs are so, if it's well growing, it's generally comes out super big nugs, super frosty, and the differentiation between sort of high THC flower and the high CBD, less than 1% THC of the Charlotte's Angel, you can't tell the difference if you were to look at the flower. It looks like it looks solid, you know, the same.
So on a YouTube video on nuking auto flowers as an experiment, I think it was Dr. Auto Flower, he grew two autos in one rectangular pot and nuked them with nutrients, stating that it is bad to over-nutrient the plants, but this is an experiment. So fast forward to after harvest, the one auto with bigger roots had the smaller canopy and smaller yield than one with smaller roots had the bigger canopy and bigger yield. Would there be a reason since both had the same space and nutrient nuke?
So two pots, one plant is always going to be quite tricky because early on, I mean, I haven't seen the video. I wonder what the plants looked like earlier on. But if you're growing, from my personal experience, if you're growing in a container and then you have multiple plants, there's always one dominant plant that sets out, and it's quite early on generally. So even when the root masses are still small, there's always one that seems to become dominant and just start to grow more than others. So I wonder if that plant became the dominant plant early on, you know, it may have just had a more of a fast start and been able to get further ahead. Alternatively, maybe it was just that specific phenotype if grown from seed. I don't know. I mean, all autos are grown from seed. So if grown from seed, maybe that phenotype was a bit more, you know, a bigger yielding pheno of the same strain.
To do a real experiment there, you would have to take the same genetic out of the same pack, if possible. But even then, you're going to possibly get variances. It depends on how stabilized the gene pool is there. But you would need to take them same seeds from the same pack, put it into the same size pot with the same medium, nuke the one with nutrients and then one with less, and that would give you a more accurate reading of the testing there. Whereas, as Dean said, you know, there will be, if it's in the same pot, there will be one plant that will be dominant and take over.
And I personally haven't ever seen, I don't know, auto flowers. I've been growing them for much shorter than photoperiodic. So I've grown more photos over the time. But the variance in, or there's always more variance in auto flowers. And that also comes back to the breeding practices. Auto flower is recessive. So it actually doesn't want to go auto. So Ruderalis has been bred with a sort of a hybrid to get a bud size, but that auto gene always wants to breed itself out if it's living in an environment where the light is longer than that of where it would have naturally been bred. So yeah, autos are tricky because they're harder to breed. You can't keep the mom stock. So you do still see more variants. I'm sure it will change over time and become more and more and more stable as guys breed down the line. But I mean, even on some of the most stable advertised autos, you're still seeing quite a variance, which is cool as well. You know, they're smaller, they're a shorter life cycle. And it's where you kind of want to see variance. Whereas if you're running clone, and if you're used to running clone, you don't see the same. You hardly see any variance across a whole array of plants.
I also have a question. Do you advise buying a genetic that is easier to grow on your first grow, or do you advise rather buying a genetic that is sort of something that you want to consume at the end of it? Do you go out of the bat for something super high THC, or do you go for something that's going to be a little bit easier to grow, especially because say it's your first grow?
From my side, I think it depends on your objective. You know, what do you want to get out of the plant? If you're looking to consume it recreationally and for fun, then focus on the flavors and the type of feeling that you're wanting to get out of it. But that also goes for if you're wanting to grow it and consume it for your own medical purposes, for, you know, relaxation, for stress, anxiety, euphoria. There, I would say you would have to do a little bit more research into finding something that's going to focus on what you, what you're wanting out of it. But if you're using it for recreational use, I think getting a seed and getting it in the ground is the best way to go and to learn.
Is it worth going for a big tent out of the bat, or is it worth sort of getting something smaller and more manageable, but then maybe having to run into upgrade issues down the line?
If you are planning to upgrade down the line, it might be better to go. What I would normally suggest is going for your end goal tent, because tent pricing is quite, it's not so massively different, but where the costs do start to really go up is when you're selecting your lighting. So as a newbie grower, if you are wanting to say do a, you know, 1.2, but you're only going to start out with two plants, I wouldn't suggest going for a 0.8 and then having to upgrade quite soon, because you're going to need to get sort of slightly larger equipment. But and also, you know, your light that you're going to put in there is going to be, you're going to want to upgrade quite soon. And if you're going for something like a 2.4 by 1.2 or 2.4 by 2.4, it would always be more advisable to start off with maybe half or a quarter of the space. Your fans and your environmentals you put in place, but your lighting, you start off smaller and you do a grow and then you upgrade your light again. And then you add another light. So instead of having to add a whole bunch of new fans and ducting and all of that sort of stuff, you invest in that at the start, but then you slowly grow on the amount of lighting and the amount of plants, because the main complication comes with more plants over working in a bigger space. I mean, if you've got the space, it's nicer to be able to, like a 2.4 by 2.4, if you're only running one light in it, you can do all your work inside, all contained, you know, there's enough space to do everything you need to do. Then if you stack that whole thing and it's your first time, you're going to be overwhelmed by the tasks and you won't even know how to spot deficiencies and stuff like that. So I always suggest the maximum, if the client wants to go maximum tent, you know, then if the end goal is a big tent, start close there and then, but rein it in on the lighting a bit, because the lighting's the biggest expense in any indoor grow by a long shot. You know, 60% of your investment is going to be into lighting.
I just want to add on, so from Let It Grows, currently growing your strains, the Femme Auto Sour Diesel times 2 7 days apart, cookies and cream, also 2 of those 7 days apart, and 2 Green Smoke GSR 7 days apart, and they're super easy thus far. It's good to see. Okay, so new to the indoor growing scene, would love to hear more about the, you know, sort of lighting setup and whether it's like a room, table, tent, something like that. And yeah, we actually, a lot of the strains, we don't breed the strains ourselves. We get them from international suppliers and we do like to basically grow most of them out, especially like Sour Diesel. I mean, those and...
Yeah, see, we've had that for 4 years.
When you find a good genetic, you know, and a good, like a breeders that... you know, producing good genetics, is good to hang on to them as long as possible. So yeah, no, it's good to see that you're growing and new to the grow scene.
Maybe just a little bit of an add-on to what Dean was saying earlier, you know, it is always better to plan ahead. So if you are planning on expanding or going bigger than what you can maybe currently afford to go or want to go because you're learning, cool, go for it. But also maybe there's another strategy you can implement. If you physically can't do it, but you want to get yourself started, you could go for the 0.8 tent. And then down the line, turn it maybe into your own mothering station and somewhere where you can clone. And down the line, you build up from there. So there are multitudes of strategies that you can go for when growing indoor. And, you know, it's mine and Dean's and your, you know, everyone at MSA's jobs to make sure that you've got all the options to explore. So yeah, I think, you know, that's what I did myself. Started in an 08 tent, small little 70 watt LED light. I grew one plant, fell absolutely head over heels with the whole process. Had amazing bud to smoke, and it also was an order flower. And ever since then, I was hooked. And We use that 08 for cloning and have used it for mothering and flowering ever since, you know. So it's always a decent investment. And just to make sure that whoever is supplying you with the knowledge when buying your equipment, you know, you need to communicate with them kind of what you want, and to make sure that they are providing you with all your options as well. So we try and strive our best to do that as best as possible, you know.
Any other comments or questions? Oh, I see there is a question out. Warning, it's grave hour. That is true.
Can confirm. Yeah, I can confirm.
That is very true. If there's no other questions, we won't keep everyone too long. But yeah, in future, we hope to have people giving specifics on lighting, people giving specifics on different genetics, and whether it's growing, but it also might be sort of in the legal cannabis space or CBD space. Till next time, guys. Cheers.